Okay, we're holding on Sadiq Bey's Ahmed Aleph, about halfway down the Amud, by the two dots. My Hodor based in the Nasir Chola. The Mishnah discussed, we've been discussing all this time, the Mishnah had distinguished between the case where a woman remarried based on one aid, where Beistin gave her permission to, versus based on two aids. The last thing the Mishnah had said was that if the Mishnah had made a distinction, if she remarried based on permission from Beistin, the Mishnah had said then she's potter from a korban because she relied on Beistin's hairah, and we discussed yesterday whether in fact that's the case, or whether we say that that's not considered a hairah, but rather it's considered a torus in the back. On the other hand, if it was shaloyafi Beistin, if there were two edim, then she's considered a shogig. You can't say she relied on Beistin, and therefore she's chayav on a korban. But then the Mishnah said, if Beistin gave her permission to marry, and instead of getting married, she killed her, which literally means she did something wrong. So some kind of znus, or some kind of improper marriage. Then the Mishnah said she's chayav on a korban because she was given permission to remarry, not to do that. The question is, my kilkala. What do we mean by kilkala? It means that she was mizana, where therefore she can't claim that Beistin gave her permission to. They gave her permission to remarry, not to be mizana. Rabbi Yechonim says, no, it means she got married, but she got married to somebody who she's not allowed to. For example, she's an almana and she went and married a kohen gadol, or grusha v'chalutza to a kohen hedyet. Manda Amar Zinsa Kol Shekhen Amar Lekhan Gadol. Rabbi Lazar, who says that the Mishnah is talking about Zinsa, that then she's chayiv in a korban, then how much more so if she married somebody that she's not allowed to, that she'd have to bring a korban for that, because again they didn't give her permission to do that. Not really a korban actually necessarily, because Amar Lekhan Gadol etc. is not an issue karis, and the rule is you only bring a korban. It's a lab. You don't bring a korban for something which is, you don't bring a korban unless it's something where b'meizid it would be chayiv karis. Everybody agrees it's a lab. For the question is whether it makes mamzerim or not. Yeah. But even according to Rabbi Akiva, we said that the Yisuri Kavuna don't make mamzerim; they just make chalolim. Man to almana l'kohen gadol, avozim saloi. But the opinion of Yochanan, who says that it's talking about an almana marrying a kohen gadol, he would say if she was mizana, then no, we would not say that she's chayev. She could use the excuse that Beistin permitted her. Why? My time and to Amra Atanur de Shavisin Pnuya. She can tell the Beistin, you know what, by saying that my husband is dead and I can remarry, effectively what you say is I'm a Pnuya. Well, if I'm a Pnuya, then I'm able to be Mizana. That's not that she's mutter, it's still allowed to be Mizana, but the point is she has an excuse to say that she was Tolu Beistin, as opposed to for her to say that therefore I figured I'm an Amona, I can marry a Kohen Gadol, or that not, because there's nothing in the Heter Beistin that implies that. Tanya Kava said to Rabbi Yechanan, we learn a b'raisa like Rabbi Yechanan, harua based in Linase, if Beistin gave her permission to remarry, v'hocha v'kilkala, and she went and was makalkal and did the wrong thing, kagoin, and here the b'raisa spells it out, like Rabbi Yechanan said, amon alakon godo grusha v'chalutz l'kain, had it, chayevis b'korban alko bia obia, then she will be chayev a korban for every single individual bia. Now this is according to Rabbi Yezer. Divir Rabbi Lazar, or really it's supposed to be Eliezer, he holds that even if the whole thing was the Hela Mechad, even if you never knew that you're doing something wrong, you never knew that what you're doing is Osir, nevertheless you chaya individually for each Bia. Whereas the Chum say you bring one carbon for the whole thing, because as long as there was a Helam, as long as she didn't know better, that it's considered all one thing. However, the Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Eliezer that if she was married to five different people, so she was after her first husband died, or Edom came to the effect, to that effect, whatever, she married Reuven, then he died, she married Shimon, etc. She will be chayev a carbon for each one of whom she's also to. However, gufin mechalakin, because then you do have this separate gufim, and that is enough, even according to the Chachamim, for it to be considered separate chiyuvim.
Everyone of the
Yeah, every person is considered a separate chiyuv. even if it was all Behelam Echad. Mishnah says, Ha'isha Shalach Bailo Vnalam Denesayam, if a woman's husband and son went overseas, and we're talking about it's only one son, so if he dies, then she's Chayiv and Yibum. People came and told her that your husband died and then your son died, which would mean she's potter from Yibum, because her child was still alive when her husband died. And then she married somebody. She got married Lashuk, because she figured there's no zik on her. And then people came and told her that it was the other way around. Her son died first, then her husband, which makes her chayiv in Yibum. Kate says she has to divorce. She has to leave her husband. She has to get a divorce from him. And both the first and second child are considered mamzer. The first meaning any children that she had while her husband was still alive, because then obviously they're mamzerim because and the second one would mean we don't mean Rishon and Achron doesn't mean when her husband's alive or not, because either way her husband's dead. No, Rishon Achron, Tosfos says, means Rishon means Lifnei Shmua, means before she heard before the second person came and said that it was her son who died first. So she meanwhile was remarried and had a child with her second husband. So that child who was born then, when she didn't know there's anything the matter, when she thought that she's still mutl shuk, and any children who are born afterwards, when she already knew she's awesome.
Not because
the husband was still alive, but because the child died first and then the husband, and therefore she's chayiv and yibum. So this is again like Rabbi Akiva, who we said a few times already. Rabbi Akiva holds that the child of a yivam l'shuk is a mamzer, even though it's only an isulav, because we said yeah. The other way around. What if they told her your son died and then your husband died? So she did yibum because she figured she's chayiv in it. And then she was told it was the other way around. So now she's an erva to her brother-in-law, to her yavam. They have to divorce. And again, both children before and after the shmua are considered mamzerim. Here in the chachamim would agree with it, because a sister-in-law to her brother's husband. To her husband's brother, when there's no mitzvah of yibum, is an issukaris, as we've talked about before. Next case, Amr la mes balach v'nissis. If they told her your husband died and then she got married, v'achachach Amr la kayim haya, and then they told her he was still alive when you got married, he is dead now. So not like the previous Mishnah, where he turned up afterwards. Here, it's they told her, yes, he's dead now, but at the time you got married, he was still alive. Kate says she has to get divorced. Vavlad Rishon Mamzer, if it's first child, meaning any children that she had before that information came, is a Mamzer. Va'achron ain't a Mamzer, but the last one is not a Mamzer, because at that point her husband was dead already. Now, having said that, there are Mefarshim who explain that there are, I think Tosfos Rosh says this, that the child is a Mamzer Midrabbanan. Because we're saying we penalize her even though her husband's dead, and you would say in that case there's nobody for her to return to. We still penalize her and force her to leave her second husband. So one of the penalties would also be that midrabanan, her child, any children that she had with the second husband, even after it turns out her husband is dead, are mamzer midrabanan. It's amazing that Shulchan Aruch brings a machlokes whether the halach is like that or not.
Because she didn't check or she didn't wait.
For the same reasons. Next, Omer Lamef Balach v'Niskadsha. What if they told her your husband died and then she was Niskadish? She didn't actually go through with the marriage. Achachach Ba Baila, and then her husband comes back. Mutaris Lach Zaloi, then she's allowed to return to her husband. Af Bishan Nasan Lach and get Lepasla Min HaKona. And even if the second husband gives her a get, that get does not pass over from Kona because he wasn't considered married to her at all. Even though they did Kedushin, it turns out it was a false Kedushin because she was still married. As do darash of Elizabeth Master, Darshan. No, she didn't yet do nisuin. They didn't yet do bia. This was only kedushin. So therefore we don't apply any of the penalties from the beginning of the parak because she didn't actually do a maisa of iser. As do darash of Elizabeth Master, Darshan. The pasuk as follows to teach us this idea that if he gives her a get, it doesn't pass away from korona. when the pasuk says v'isha grusha me'isha, when is a woman also to a kohen, a woman who's divorced from her husband, v'lemi isha ne'isha, not from a man who's not her husband. So in this case, the second man is not considered her husband because she was married to her first husband the whole time. Therefore, the get he gives her doesn't pasul. So then, my rishon, my achron. What do we mean by the first and the second children? In the first case of the Mishnah, where we said Havlad Rishon v'Achron Mamzer, if the first child means any children who are born before the news comes that her husband that her husband had been the second one to die, so she's Chayim and Yibum, and Achron would mean any children after that, then what does it need to say that? Listen, Havlad Mamzer. Let us just say straight out that the any children from her marriage are Mamzer. The answer is Mishum de Kaboyla Misni Sefer, because we needed to say in the second case that there is a difference. The case of Omrullah Mes Balach Venissis, where they told her your husband died and she remarried, Bachach Omrullah Kayim, and then they told her that he's still alive, Kayim Hoya, that he was alive at the time she married, Omes, but then he died later. Arushan Mamzer, Acharnein Mamzer. So only the children from before, from while her husband was still alive, are Mamzerim, but any children after that are not Mamzerim. So there has to be a distinction between Rishon and Achron. Therefore, Tananami Rishon Achron Mamzer. So for parallelism, the first part mentions that the first and second children are both Mamzerim, even though it didn't really need to specify that. It's just all of them are Mamzerim across the board.
Couldn't they have said one thing for the Risha and one thing for the Sefer, so we know if it's a Mamzer or not?
No, because once the Sefer has to distinguish between Rishon and Achron, so the Risha clarifies that no matter what, Rishon or Achron, in that case of Yibum, In the case where she didn't know she needed Yibum, or in the case where she mistakenly did Yibum, then both Rishon and Achron are Mamzer. Turn it up, Amen. Zudibir Rabbi Akiva, this first part of the Mishnah that says that this Yivama who was married Lashuk and had children, that we said the children are Mamzerim, that is only according to Rabbi Akiva. Shoya Omer in Kiddushin Trefus B'chayv Elavin, who he says, as we've had a few times already, that Kiddushin are not Trefus by Chayv Elavin, therefore Kiddushin are not Trefus by this Yivama, therefore the children are Mamzerim. But the Chachamim say there cannot be a Mamzer from the Yavama. It's only an Isser Lav, it's not an Isser Karis or Mrs. Bastian, therefore no Mamzer. Question is, why do the Chachamim say Ein Mamzer Miyavama instead of the more general statement that there's no Mamzer Mechayv Elavim? The answer is Hai Tana Hach Tana Durabakivahu, because the Chachamim here are not the Chachamim, namely Shimon HaTimni, who we had previously, are the ones who say that only Karis are Mrs. Bastin. The Chachamim here against Rabbi Akiva are the Chachamim who have a different understanding of Rabbi Akiva. Da'amim Chayv Elavin Desher, having Mamzer, they say that even within Chayv Elavin there can be Mamzerim, namely if it's Chayv Elavin that have to do with close relatives.
Without being it Chayv
But mechayv elavin, great loy have a mamzer, but just a plain isser lav. In other words, we said before that there's a distinction within Rabbi Akiva's shita itself. We had three different understandings of it. One is that he's referring across the board to any chayv elavin. One is that he's talking only chayv elavin to she'er, only chayv elavin that has to do with close relatives. For example, amnusas aviv, mufutas aviv, which we're going to talk about in the next parak. And the third way was that he says even chayv eser. That was Rabbi Sheva that said that. And then aside from that, you have Shimon HaTimni who said that it's only Chrisus or Mrs. Basti. The machlokes in our brisa over here between the Mishnah that says that from a yivama you can have mamzerim versus the chachamim in the brisa who say that from a yivama you cannot have chayv elavim, you cannot have mamzerim. They're saying from other chayv elavim it is possible. But only chayv elavin of she'er, of close relatives. Yivama l'shuk is not a lav of she'er. Therefore, no mamzer. Chayv elavin greedy, I have a mamzer.
Greedy
means simply. A simple chayv elavin.
Meaning non-she'er.
Right, non-close relative. Omer of Yehuda Amar Rav, minayim chain kedushin types in Yivama. How do we know that kedushin are not tofus by Yivama l'shuk? It says the pasuk that the wife of the dead man shall not be to the outside to a non-relative. Loisia means loitehaba havoya lazar, means that there cannot be any havoya between kedushin with azar. So therefore, kedushin are not tofus.
Someone other than the brothers, in other words.
Right. So, and Tosfos discusses, is Rav saying only according to Rav Akiva, or is he maybe even saying, maybe even the Chachamim would agree that Kedushin are not Tosfos, but they would say, nevertheless, the child's not a mamzer.
And that's, of course, before Chalitza.
Yeah, we're talking about, yeah. Well, Shmuel Omar, Shmuel says, no, it's not so simple. There's actually two ways to understand the pasuk. Lysia Eshes Ameis can be saying she's not allowed to, but if she does, then Kedushin are Tosfos. Or it can be saying, like Rav is saying, that it means that it's impossible for her to, because Kedushin will not be Tofus. The Rambam points out in the Shoshim for Sefer HaMitzvahs that in Hebrew you can have the word loy when the pasuk says, when the pasuk introduces a statement with loy, it can be saying an isser, do not do this, or it can be negation, this cannot happen. So basically, the question is over here, how do we understand this? Loisia, there is an issur on her to marry out of the family. Or, Loisia, it's impossible for her to validly marry outside the family because Kedushin wouldn't be Tofus. Rav is saying according to the second way. Shmuel says, Ba'an Yisenu, because of our poverty, meaning because we don't know better, we don't know how to understand the pasuk, we're not sure whether Kedushin or Tofus, therefore, Tzricha get misfake, Tzricha get, therefore, Tzricha get, therefore, she needs a get. In other words, Misafka le Shmuel. Shmuel has a suffix. Hai lo siya eshes ameis. Ilo lav u da'asa. Ilo tapsi ba kedushin u da'asa. What is lo siya? Is it telling us a lav? She is not allowed to. But if she does, then it's chal. Or is it telling us a negation? Kedushin are not toifas, like Rav says. So because Shmuel is saying, we're not sure, therefore she needs a get, just in case kedushin were toifas. Whereas Rav says, for sure it's not.
How does he know it's for sure not?
He had the Kabbalah from the teachers. Shmuel evidently didn't. Amalei Rav Mori Baruch Hu Rav Ashi, Hachi Amar Amemer. So this is what Amemer said. Halacha Kavasei to Shmuel. The halacha is like Shmuel. She needs to get misafik. Amar Rav Ashi, Hashta to Amar Amemer Hilchsa Kavasei to Shmuel. Well, now that I know that Amemer said the halacha is like Shmuel, that maybe Kedushin are Tofus and maybe not, then what happens? Im Hoya Yavam Akoyin. What happens if her Yavam is a Kohen? Now let's say she went and married out Lashuk. So the case of our Mishnah. So what are we doing? Let's go back to the case of our Mishnah a minute. People came and told her that your husband died, then your son died. Therefore she should be pulled from Yavam. She goes and marries out Lashuk. Turns out that that's wrong. Turns out she's chayev in Yavam. And her Yavam is a Kohen. Her husband was a Kohen and her Yavam is a Kohen as well.
The husband died and the son died.
Right. But it was turned out the other way around. It turned out first the son died, then the husband died, which makes her Chayev and Yavam. But she didn't know that. She went and married out Lashuk. That's a hard one. You want an actual Gemara. we'll be using that again in a few days. That's the
Shem. Yeah.
Okay. So now the problem is like this. The problem is if we make this other guy. So again, let's review. She was married to Reuven, and she had a son. People came and told from Reuven. People came and told her that your husband died and then your son died, which means that she should be Palter from Yibum. Turns out it was the other way around. So she's Chayev in Yibum. Meanwhile, not knowing that, she went and married somebody from outside the family. She went and married Moshe. Now it turns out she's Chayev and Yibum, after all, to her husband's brother, Shimon. Now, Shimon is a Kohen, let's say. Now, that creates a problem. If we were to say that we're going to make Moshe give her a get, then she won't be able to marry Shimon, because Shimon can't marry a Grusha. Given that Shmuel is saying the whole thing is only a matter of a suffix, then in that case, so what are we going to do? We can't not have Moshe give her a get, because what if she needs one after all in order to marry Shimon the Kohen? On the other hand, once she gets that get, she'll be also to him. In that case, what we do is we say to Shimon, the Yavam, do chalitza with her and let her stay married to Moshe. This way she doesn't have to lose out from both of them, basically. The advantage is she can stay married to Moshe. Like this, she'd be also to marry to him because there's the Zika. We tell the Kohen, do her Chalitza, That way she's potter for that. That way she's free from you, and she can stay married to her husband. And we said the other day, usually we don't want her to do chalitza while she's married. But at least in this case, it's the best alternative. Or actually, I guess we could say, maybe according to what the Ritva had said the other day, that a married woman can't do chalitza, then fine, we'd tell Velesperator, or we tell Moshe, divorce her, let Shimon do chalitza for her, and then you can remarry her, because you're not a kohen. The question is, it's gure itker. In that case, she's gaining by having hurried into another marriage without making sure that she's really potter from Yibum. Wouldn't it come out then that by having done the wrong thing, she ends up gaining? She ends up being allowed to stay with the second husband only because of Yavam Zakayim. El also no.
Does she have another choice?
Well, should we do that? So no. That's not what Ravashi said. Rather, what he said is like this: Im hoya Yavam Yisrael, if her Yavam is a Yisrael, not a Kayin, Noisa Lasheni get, then what we do is we make the second husband give her a get, and then she remains, then she becomes mutter to her Yavam. We don't say, in other words, the point is, according to this, we don't say, now the Gemara is going to be discussing soon the question of if her Shemeres Yavam is Mizana, does that make her also to the Yavam? From this, we're saying that it comes out that not. According to this explanation, we're saying that no, even though she married out as a Yavam Lashuk, which she wasn't supposed to, but now that we found out the actual fact, we will allow her to marry the Yavam once she gets a divorce from her second husband.
But he was an Yisrael.
But it has to be the Yavam as a Yisrael for that to work. If the Yavam is a Kohen, it won't work.
Right.
Yeah. So we're changing. So now we're not saying Chayta Niska. We're not saying, because the previous way we were saying Chayta Niska. She winds up gaining. She's allowed to stay married to this guy even though she married him illegally. Now we're saying no. Or she may be gaining something, but not really as much. She's allowed to, the fact that she's allowed to marry her Yavam. Amr of Gidol, Amr of Chiva Yosef, Amr Rav, Yuvama, Kiddushin Enba, Nisuin Yeshba. When it comes to a Yuvama, Lashuk, who's marrying out of the family, Kiddushin does not apply to her, but Nisuin apply to her. Question is, what does that mean? E Kiddushin Enba, Nisuin Nami Enba. Kiddushin and Nisuin are two stages. If Kiddushin are not Shayach, if Rav said before the Kiddushin are not Tofus to the Yuvama, then how is Nisuin Shayach either? Ema, so no, you have to correct the statement. What he means is kiddushin v'nisuin emba. It means that neither kiddushin nor nisuin take effect with her. Meaning, just like kiddushin doesn't take effect, even if she actually goes through with the marriage, we say that still it's not considered a valid marriage. Not like we said the other day, the idea that maybe kiddushin could be kiddushin tos, but nisuin we would think or not. But no, we say given that kiddushin can't be tofus with her, then Nisuin doesn't help anything either. If Ibo is Ema, or another explanation, my Nisuin Yeshba biznus. What does it mean when we say Nisuin Yeshba? We mean that the Nisuin are considered like Znus, in the sense that it will make her also to the Yavam. Before, when we just said now that she can get a get from the guy she married and then marry her Yavam, that's one opinion. Rav is saying that no. If she goes and marries somebody else, if she goes and marries Lashuk without having had Chalitza or Yibum, that actually makes her also to the Yom, as if she was Mizana. That's what I mean. Kedushin don't exist, meaning if she's Niskadish to somebody else, it has no effect. But if she actually does Nisuin, and then Chopa and Bia, then she becomes, then it has an effect in the sense that she's also to her Yom.
And the child is a Mamzer?
According to Rebbe Akiva, yes. According to everybody else, no. Kid Rav Hamnuna, this is like what Rav Hamnuna said. The Amar Rav Hamnuna, Shemeres Yavam Shizinsa Asurli Yavama. That if a Shemeres Yavam is Mizana, she becomes also to Yavam. This is exactly the same thing. We're saying that if she married out without getting Chalitza, then also she's also to the Yavam. The Ibo is saying, La'olam Kedamor Meikara, or you could understand Rav's statement about Kedushin and Nisuin to be like we said originally. It means Kedushin and Nisuin Yeshla. We would say that Kedushin are not Tophus, but Nisuin do have an effect, in the sense that she needs a get. Because it's too easily confused with the case of a woman whose husband went overseas and she got married, where in the first Mishnah of the Perek, we said that she needs a get, that we cancel her and she needs a get from the second husband. In this case also, if she was only Miskadesh to another man while she's waiting for Yibum, then we say, okay, you know, we can consider it Kedushi Tos. She doesn't necessarily need a get from him. And then fine, she can go marry her Yavam. But if she actually went through with the Nisuin, she's going to need a get from him. Amr Rabbi Yanai, v'chavura nimnu v'gamru. In the chavura, meaning when all the chachamim were assembled together, they voted and they decided, ain kedushin tofes in miyavama. Kedushin not tofes by yavama. Not like Shmuel said before, where we're not sure about it, and therefore she needs to get this suffix. No, they decided by chavura that's not tofes, period. Amalot of Yechon and Rebbe, loy mishnah seinu hizu. What do we need the chavura to tell us that? Which are like the later tenoyim. Don't we have it explicitly in a mishnah? Ditnan. If a man says to a woman, I'm being the Kaddish you as of after I become a ger, so right now he's a goy, so he says to a Jewish woman, I'm giving you this Kaddish now so that it should take effect when I become a ger. Or, that's the question. Or, she's a goy, and he says, after you, Miss Geyer. He's an Eved or she's a Shifcha, and they make the same deal after I become free or after you become free. Or he says, I'm being Mekadosh you now for it to take effect after your husband dies. Or after your sister, who I'm married to now, dies, where she's also to him at this point as an Erva. Or after your Yavam does Chalitza with you. And a Mekudeshes. In all those cases, she is not Mekudesh, because at this point, the Kedushin are not Shayach. That's what we're going to get to in a minute, about all the Makna Dovah Shalai Balaylam. But that's actually a different matter that the Gemara is going to get to in a minute.
Okay.
But at this point, what we're saying is, in none of these cases, Kedushin are Tofus. Just like Kedushin are not Tofus between a Goy and a Jew, between a goy and in either direction or whatever, same thing. The Mishnah seems to be implying that's not tofus with a woman who's waiting with a shemeres yavam. So you see that it's not tofus. So what do you need the chavura to tell us that? Amalei. So Rabbi Yana tells him you're right, but he loved the loy lochaspa. If I had not picked up the shard, the piece of earthenware for you, mi mashkachas maganisa tusei, would you have found the diamond underneath it? In other words, yes, by telling you that the Chavura decided this, you realize you found a Mishnah, you found a Mishnah, which now you're able to understand in that sense. If it hadn't been for what I told you, what the Chavura said, you would have understood that Mishnah differently. That it's not a matter of whether Kedushin or Tefus, but rather, like you said, that's a matter of Adam Machna Dava Shalai Bol Olam. Meaning, in this case, it's Dava Shalai Bol Olam. He's not yet as a Jew in this world, for example. Or in the case of the Shemeres Yavam, both of them exist, but he's specifically saying that I want the Kedushin only to be in effect after Chalitza takes place. Right now, Chalitza has not taken place yet, so it's a Dover Shalai Bola Olam, it's something that's not yet in the world. So you could have argued, you know why the Mishnah is telling us that Kedushin, that the Kedushin don't take effect, not because Kedushin are not Tofus with the Yavama, but because you're making it dependent on a Dover Shalai Bola Olam. Rabbi Yana tells him, now that I told you that the Chavura said that in fact Kedushin are not Tofus by Yavama, now you understand the Mishnah in that way.
It may come,
but it hasn't come, and a key thing with Dovah Shalai Bol Olam is you don't have the power to make it happen.
No, you have the power if you convert, but...
No, but the Gershon is Gaukakot Shinoda Dami, so that then he's considered a whole new person. But in the case of the Yavama, which is mainly what we were dealing with over here, you, the man off the street, don't have any power to make her Oist Yavama. It has to be the Yavama has to do something. So therefore, it's a Dover Shalai Bol Olam. Amalei Rish Lakish. The Rish Lakish tells Rabbi Yechanan, you loved Kalfach Gabra Rava. If it weren't for the fact that a great man, meaning Rabbi Yanai, praised you and said that your understanding of that understanding of the Mishnah that you said is correct, that it's not a matter of Dover Shalai Bol Olam, but rather it's a matter of Kedushin and not Tefus by Yavama. If it weren't for that, I would have disagreed with that. I would tell you that no, that's not what the Mishnah means. Masnissin Rabbi Akiva he, but rather the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Akiva. Doma and Kedushin Tefus in B'chai V'lavin. That only according to Rabbi Akiva. We said before, the Kedushin are not Tefus. Chachamim might well disagree with that. Lav Davka, does that Mishnah represent everybody's opinion? According to Rabbi Yana's explanation, yes, it represents everybody's opinion. Or at least everybody who says that Kedushin are not Tofus by a Yavama. But you could have argued that it's only according to Rabbi Akiva, who says specifically that it's a matter that in general Kedushin are not Tofus by Chai Vilab, and nothing specific about a Yavama. The Rabbi Akiva, and furthermore, that if that Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a question. The Rabbi Akiva, the question is, so what? If it's according to Rabbi Akiva, why indeed should the Kedushin not take effect if he says, I'm being Makadish you, so that it should take effect after you, Yavama does Chalitza? We do find that Rabbi Akiva holds the person can be Makna, something that doesn't yet exist now. So, well, right now she doesn't exist as somebody who's Mutashuk, but eventually she will, and according to Rabbi Akiva, that should be good enough that you're able to be Mekadosh her now, so that it'll take effect later.
How can it say
that? Ditznan, as we learn in a Mishnah, if a woman says to her husband, Koinam shani oisalaficha, whatever I produce, we learned the other day that a woman is supposed to make things around the house, like spinning wool or whatever, and that goes to her husband. Maisi Yodea usually goes to her husband. But if she says that I'm declaring whatever I make as a koinam l'ficha, to your mouth, meaning whatever I make is also to you, is also for you to eat or to have any amenah from, as if it was a korban. Koinam is another word for korban. We say in Kol Nidre. What?
And she don't use them on yourself.
Yeah. Well, So the Mishnah says, Ein tzorech lahafer. The husband does not even have to cancel that nedir, because it can't take effect in the first place. She has a shibud to him. She has to do this malacha and this maisi yada, and it goes to him. It's one of the tnoi ksuba, that in return for him supporting her, she gives him a maisi yada. So therefore, she does not have the right to make such a nedir. So therefore, he doesn't even have to cancel.
Koinam
means a korban. Shani oisal aficha. That whatever I make should be also to your mouth. Should be also to you, as if it was a korban. In tzorech lahafer, he doesn't need to cancel it because the neder wasn't chal. But Rabbi Akiva omer yafer. Rabbi Akiva says he does need to cancel the neder. Shema tadif olav yosem and aroyla, because she might end up making more than the normal expected amount. There's a certain normal expected amount that she's supposed to spin, for example, which is ma'isi odeh. But what if she makes more than that? That she's not meshubah to him, so the neder could be chal on that. So therefore, therefore he says he has to be made for the neder. But what do we see? It's a davar shaloi bala olam, because when she makes the neder now, she has not yet done that malacha. And we see Rabbi Akiva says the neder can be chal. So there you go then. By the same token, when it comes to being mekadesh or yavama, he might hold. You can't be mekadesh her right now, but you can be mekadesh her right now for later, because later it will be able to be chal once she has chalitza.
Here we're talking about two Yidden over there. We're talking about
the case of a Shemeres Yavam is also two Jews. Again, forget about the other cases in the Mishnah. That's just the Mishnah. I mentioned a whole bunch of cases. The one we're focusing on over here is the Shemeres Yavam. The answer is no. That's not a proof because her Itmar Allah, because they explained about that. Amar of Huna Breder Vishua. We're not talking about what she said. The malacha, the stuff that she makes, is going to be also to him. You're right. That's the Davar Shalom Balaylam. What it is by Meres, it's the case is that the woman says, Yikdishu yaday la'efehim. My hands should be hektish to the one who made them, to the Eivishter, in other words. Automatically, once her hands are considered hektish, automatically anything she makes with them would be also to her husband. And yadayim is new ba'alma. The hands exist now. That's the equivalent of saying, in other words, there's a difference between, for example, I could say, I'm selling you the fruit that this tree will produce next year. That's a davar shaloi bala olam, and it wouldn't be chal. Versus, I could say, I'm selling you this tree in order that when the fruit grows, you'll be able to pick it. And that's chal, because the tree exists now. Same thing, you don't have to say that Rabbi Akiva holds that you could be makna davar shaloi bala olam, because the kind of neder that she's making is one that involves her hands, which actually exist. So you don't have exactly. So you don't have a proof from that Rabbi Akiva would say that you can be machna davar shaloi bala olam. So he might point out, pliga de Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, this explanation that we just said, this disagrees with Rav Nachman by Yitzchak's explanation. The Amr Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, because he says that in fact, Rav Rav Huna k'Rav, that Rav Huna holds at the same way as Rav does, who was his Rebbe, v'Rav k'Rav Yanai, who was his Rebbe, v'Rav Yanai k'Rav Chia, v'Rav Chia k'Rebbe, v'Rebbe k'Rav Meir, v'Rav Meir k'Rav Elazman Yaakov, v'Rav Elazman Yaakov k'Rav Akiva, and all of them hold, da'ama adam machna davar shalai bo'la oilam, that a person can be machna something that doesn't exist. So the point of Radio Vishwa's explanation was that it's not a question of davar shalai bo'la oilam, it's a matter of the hands versus the maisim. But Rav Nachman Yitzchok says no. In fact, Rav Akiva holds, and his Talmud, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, held the same after him, and the mayor held the same, and so forth, going down to Rav Huna, that yes, you can be machna davar shalai bo'la oilam. Incidentally, by the way, in the Rambam Hakdama to Yad HaChazaka, when he lists the chain of Masorah, Torah Shebaal Peh, so he talks about, he mentions over there how this Tana taught these Tanoim, and this Amora taught these Amoraim, and so forth. One of the ones he mentions over there is he says that Rav learned from Rav Yanai. And the Ravid says about that, what on earth is the Rambam talking about? The Kesef Mishnah says, from here. You see here that it says Rav ki Rav Yanai. And Rashi says over here it means we're talking about a chain of Rebbeim and of students and Rebbeim. Each one learned from his Rebbe. So we see that Rav, in a certain sense, is a Talmud of Rav Yanai. Yeah. No, directly we're saying over here, but yeah. Anyway, where do we see that? Rav Huna Maihi, where do we see that Rav Huna holds that? The Itmar, Hamlecha Peres Dechel Chaveri, if somebody sells fruit of a tree to somebody else, Amar Rav Huna, Ad Shalai Bo'ola Olam Yochel Lachzabai, until the fruit actually grows, he can change his mind. So we're talking about during the winter, let's say, you go to somebody and you say, I'm selling the fruit is going to grow during the summer. I'm selling it to you now so you can pick it when the summer comes, when it grows. So Rav Huna says, until the fruit actually grows, you're allowed to go back on the deal because it doesn't exist yet. But but once it grows, you can't take the deal back. Why? Because even though you were machna davar shalai bala olam, once the thing is bala olam, then you can't take it back. But you can. But even though you made the deal when it was shalai bala olam, even when it didn't exist. Rav Nachman says, no, even after the fruit grows, you can change your mind because the kinyan was done when it didn't exist yet. Amr Rav Nachman, my dina, so Rav Nachman says, I do agree, that if the buyer went and picked some of that fruit and ate it, that you're not going to take it away from him. You're not going to make him pay it back because until the guy changes his mind and decides to back out of the deal, you were entitled to it. So there we see that Rav Huna holds that you're able to be machna something that doesn't yet exist. Rav, where do we see that Rav said such a thing? Da'amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, ha'omer l'chaveri, if somebody says to somebody else, sodu zushani l'keach, this field that I'm going to buy, l'chsha ekachena, when I buy it, k'nuya l'choma achshav, then it's nikna to you as of now. In other words, basically he's saying, I'm buying it as if I was your agent. So as soon as I buy it, as soon as the deal goes through, then automatically it's transferred to you. So then kana. So he's kana. Now that's considered davar shalai bo'la olam because you haven't yet bought it. The field actually exists, but as long as you haven't bought it, it's not in your possession to give away. And yet Rav says that takes effect. It's in Bava Metzia, yeah. Rav Yanai k'Rav Chia, and where do we see that Rav Yanai holds that? Because he holds like Rav Chia. Do Rav Yanai have a arisa to have a maisa like kanta de peiri komalishab? So Rav Yanai had an oris. An oris is a sharecropper where you have a field, you have somebody take care of it and plant and plow and do whatever all the work in the field, and he gets a certain percentage of the crop as his payment, and you get the rest. That's an oris. So he had an oris to have a maisel, a kansa de peiri komala shabsa. This oris used to bring him a basket of fruit every Erev Shabbos, as fruit for Shabbos. Some before Shem explained that the basket of fruit actually belonged to Rav Yanai, that it was part of Rav Yanai's share, and the oris was just bringing it to him. Rashi over here, the Ritva understands Rashi over here to be saying that the fruit actually belonged to the oris, and he was giving it to Rav Yanai as a gift. Anyway, one time it happened, Nogale, it was getting late in the day, Vilayosa, and the guy hadn't come yet. So Rav Yanai realized that by the time he gets the fruit, it's already going to be Shabbos, and he's not going to be able to take Maisa from it. So how is he going to eat it on Shabbos? Shokol also mipeyuri de beisei alayu, so he went and took some of the fruit that he already had in his house of the same type, and took Maisa on behalf of the fruit which is going to be coming later. So there's a davar shalai bo'la olam. but not his yet. Also, the Kamei did Reb Chiya. So later on, he went to ask Reb Chiya, did I do the right thing? Amalei Shaper Abdus. And Reb Chiya tells him, yes, you did the right thing, Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says about giving Truma and Meiser, L'man Tuma L'yura as Hashem Alekecha Kol HaYomim, that you should give, you have to give Truma and Meiser, or Meiser Sheni specifically, he's talking about over there, in order that you should learn to fear Hashem all the days. What does it mean, all the days? Eva Shabbosus V'yam Tovim. Means be careful, Rashi says, be careful that your Onik Shabbos shouldn't be nisbatel because you're not able to give Truma and Meiser. You're going to have food, which you're not going to be able to eat on Shabbos because it's Tevel. Make sure to avoid that situation. So we see from that that it was right to take steps like this to make sure you'll be able to eat this food on Shabbos.
When did he ask? After Shabbos or during Shabbos?
During Shabbos, I guess, yeah.
The
question is, what exactly do we mean? Are we saying that the Pasuk is implying about Shabbos and Yom Tov? Is the Pasuk telling us that you're allowed to take Truma and Meiser on Shabbos, which, okay, Midrabanan you're not, but Midaraisa you are, so maybe that's what the Pasuk is telling us. You should know you're allowed to take Truma and Meiser so you don't lose out on earning Shabbos. You don't need that. It's Tzuchkral Mishri Tilto Midrabanan. Would you really need a pasuk to tell us that only moving something is aser? The whole concept of mukta is only dirabanan. You don't need a pasuk to tell us that you're allowed to move mukta. Some of Farshim say, by the way, that tiltal over here, we don't mean actually moving. We mean as a more generic term, meaning something which is only aser dirabanan. We learned way back in Beitza that the reason you're not supposed to give truma and maaser on Shabbos is because you're being misakin. Because before the thing was unusable, now you're making it usable. So it's similar to tikkun keli. But it's only an issur d'rabbanan. So the pasuk doesn't have to be telling us that you're allowed to do something which only the d'rabbanan are going to ask for later. So there's two ways of looking at it. Either we're talking about that the issur is to do the tikkun, or the issur is to handle the tevel, but whatever it is, either way, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. El olav ki gavna. Obviously, the pasuk must be telling us about a case like this. That there could be a case where you could end up with tevel on Shabbos, where you're only going to be getting it on Shabbos itself, even though it was coming to you before Shabbos, and we see you're allowed to take truma and meiser from it, even though you don't have it yet. That's Rashi's explanation, is we see from that both Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Chiya hold you're allowed to do davar shalai b'la'olam, because that's how Rabbi Chiya is explaining the pasuk. The pasuk itself is implying that you're allowed to give truma and meiser even though the fruit hasn't come into your possession yet. So Tosfos asks on that, in that case, what's the difference between Shabbos and any other time? And so Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel instead that the chiddush of the pasuk is normally you should give truma and maaser, all the fruit should be, all the produce should be together in one place. That's called minamukov. The chiddush is here, even though the basket is only on its way to you, so it's not yet mukaf. Nevertheless, the Torah is telling you go ahead and take truma and maaser in that case because of owning Shabbos. You won't have that heter during the week, but you'll have it for Shabbos. Anyway, Amalei, so Rabbi Yanai says to Reb Chiya, I'm still not sure I did the right thing. Because I was read the following pasuk in a dream that Friday night. Kone rotzus, a broken reed. Now, I'm assuming what was the pasuk that was being hinted to me was the pasuk Hine b'tachta l'chamish enes akone arotzut hazeh, that Rav Shekei, Sabcheirav spokesman, is telling the people of Yerushalayim what gave you guys the chutzpah to think that you could rebel against Sabcheirav. What are you relying on? Pare, he's like a what are you relying on? Pare Melech Mitzrayim, he's like a broken reed. Next to Sabcheirav, like you try to lean on such a thing and all it'll do is hurt you. It won't support you. So therefore, so Rabbi Yana is saying, if I was mentioned the pasuk in my dream, Koner Rotzut, that seems to be implying that I have very shaky grounds to do this on. Maybe it wasn't the right thing. The answer is loy. No, Rabbi Chiya tells him, Hachi Kamilach, no. They were actually hinting to you a different pasuk. Koner Rotzut lo yishver, ufisht keha lo yichabena. The pasuk says, talking about Mashiach, that a shattered reed he will not break, and flax. That's and flax that's dying out. He won't put it out. And the pasuk finishes off la emes yotzi mishpat. I don't know. The Mashiach will be very gentle with people. Even if somebody is already broken, he'll be very careful not to break them further. But la emes yotzi mishpat. He'll bring out the mishpat to be the right thing. So by telling you the pasuk koner rotzitz, they were actually hinting to that to show that you came out with the right decision. You did the right thing. Anyway, so we see from this little story that both Rav Yana and Rav Chiya hold that you're allowed to do business, or to do, in this case, do Trumas and Maestros with Davar Shalai Bala Olam, and therefore we can add them to the list. Rebbe, where do we see that Rebbe holds that? The Tanya. When the Pasuk says, Lysaskir Eved El Adonav, that you should not, the Pasuk says you should not hand over a slave to his master. There's actually a few different meanings of what this pasuk means. One of them, the Gemara discusses in Gittin, is a case where a Jewish master had an Eved Kanani living outside Eretz Yisrael, and the slave runs away to Eretz Yisrael. So then you don't return him to Chutz La'aretz, because being in Eretz Yisrael is very important. So the pasuk says, don't return him to his master, let him go free and live in Eretz Yisrael as a ger tosh, or actually not as a ger tosh, when he's an Eved Meshuchar, he'll be a full Jew. Anyway, so another meaning, Rebbe Yomer, V'lekeach Eved Amanasa Shachar HaKos Medaber. The Pasuk is talking about a case where somebody buys a slave on condition that he's going to free him. And the Pasuk is saying, don't allow him to change his mind. Once he said, I'm going to free you, then he can't change his mind. And we have to ask, Kechi Domi, how could such a thing happen? How do you buy a slave Amanasa Shachar? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tekosavle, the case is, he writes in the Shtar, L'chshe Ekochacha, as of when I buy you, then you acquire yourself, meaning you become free as of now.
Back in time.
No, not really back. No, the ma'achshav really doesn't mean it's back in time, but it means, in other words, as of when he buys him. So that's the point. In other words, he hasn't bought him yet. How is he writing already? You're going to be free. We see that you can be machne or something that's shalai b'loilam.
Was for an effort to go free and be a yet.
Yes. I mean, the Gemara does mention that after Behefker Nichale, that an Eved maybe would prefer the Hefker Dika life, so maybe he doesn't want to, but if that was the deal, then that's the deal. Rav Meir, where do we see that Rav Meir holds that you can do Dovah Shalai Bala'olam? The Tanan, because we have the Mishnah, the Vice actually, that we quoted before. Somebody says to a woman, I'm being Mekadosh you, as of when I convert, or la'achash disgayri, when you convert, la'achash eshtachar, la'achash eshtachari, la'achash yomas bailach, after your husband dies, la'achash yomas achosach, yeah, we quoted this before, la'achash yachos achosach yomach enu mekodesh, we said in all those cases, she's not mekodesh, but the Mishnah continues, the Braisa continues, Rav Meir oimim mekodesh. Rav Meir says in those cases, she is mekodesh. So we see that he holds that you can do Dovah Shalai Bala Olam, because even though the guy is not Bala Olam yet as a Jew, because Gershon is Kakashin as a dummy, and the woman is not yet divorced or had Chalitza or whatever, nevertheless, you can be Mekadosh now for it to take effect later. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where do we see that he holds that you can do Dovah Shalai Bala Olam, the Tanya? The Mishnah, the Braisa, rather, over there, is talking about a situation involving giving Truma. Now, one thing is that produce doesn't become produce is not yet chayiv in truma and maaser as long as it's attached to the ground. So if I were to declare this grain that I have at home truma on behalf of this grain which is still attached to the ground, nothing would happen. It wouldn't be considered truma.
So the pole would have put a horse and without.
No, that was a different matter, but yeah. That's even after it was picked, because one is chayiv d'oraisa and one is chayiv d'rabbanan. But as long as it's attached to the ground, it's not chayiv b'chlal. Yes, there are kain omer Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says furthermore, afilu im omer peiros arugazu tlushim yu peiros al arugazu mechubarim. Even if somebody says that the produce of this, from this plot of land in the field, which is already picked, should be truma on behalf of the produce in this other part of the garden, which is still attached to the ground. Or the other way around, you say that the ones that are still attached to the ground should be considered truma on behalf of the ones that are detached. As of when they reach one third of their growth, which is when they first become chayev, and when they get picked, and then they grow one third and they get picked, dvar kayam. And then when he said it takes effect, because even though it's a davar shalai bala olam, he holds you can do that. And the difference is now the thing is the question of whether it's picked or not is something that's biyade, because he can pick it at any time. But when it grows a third, that's not biyada. It has to grow one third. And yet we're saying that it works. that Rav Elazar Yaakov said that it works to declare it truma now for when it will be chayav later. So we see that he holds that you can do davar shalei b'alaylam. And Rav Akiva, the Tanan, we have the Mishnah that we quoted before, Kona Mishani Oysa Laficha, that if the wife says to her husband, I'm declaring also as a carbon anything that I make, that it should be also to your mouth, and it's Tzarech Lahafer, we said that he does not have to cancel the neder, because it's not Chal at all. Rav Akiva Oma Yofer, whereas Rav Akiva says that he has to be Mefer, Shematavi Fall of Yosem and Aroyla, because she might make extra, and the neder can be Chal on that. So not like the explanation that we said before, that it was rather that she said yikdashu yadei, that she talked about her hand. No, we'll take the straightforward meaning of the Mishnah, that she was talking about the malacha itself, the things that she's going to make. Well, she hasn't made them yet. It's davar shalei b'alaylam. And Rabbi Akiva says the neder is chal. So we see that he holds that you can do davar shalei b'alaylam. Now, we do have a general rule that when the Gemara mentions a whole list of tanoim or amoroim who rule a certain way, usually that means the halacha is not like them. And that's how it is also over here. Even though we said that we have a line going all the way from Rav Akiva all the way to Rav Huna, who say that Adam Machna Dovah Shalai B'Lo'olam, nevertheless, the halacha is not like that. The halacha is that a person cannot be Machna Dovah Shalai B'Lo'olam.
Why is that?
Because it's Shalai B'Lo'olam.
No, but why?
Oh, because we have all these individuals who say this way, but it means that Ravim, that means that the rest of the Chachamim are all different. Yeah. New topic, going back to all this time in the previous Mishnah and this Mishnah, we've been talking about the question of Eid Echad versus Shnei Eidim, and how many Eidim gave Eidus on the situation. So in our Mishnah, when we had the two cases, one where they tell it, one where she's told you're not Chayiv in Yibum, and then she goes and marries out Lashuk, and then it turns out that she is, or the other way around where they tell her you are Chayiv in Yibum, and she goes and does Yibum, and it turns out she's not. They asked Rav Sheshes the following question. Eid Echad b'yavama mahu. What would be the din? Now we know, we said before, that if one aid comes and testifies that a woman's husband is dead, then we allow her to remarry. We said that Chum will make on that. She has to be Medayik, right. The question is, does the same rule apply? Eid Echad b'yavama mahu. Does the same rule apply to a Yavama, that if you have one aide coming and saying her husband died, that she should be allowed to do Yibum? What's the question?
Yeah.
Well, that's the question. Taima de aid echad mishum de milsa David gluy loy mishaker. Do we say the basic reason why we accept the aid with one aid is because people don't lie about things that are going to end up turning up to not be like they said? And in this case, therefore, an aide would be afraid to say that her husband is dead because it might turn out that if he turns up alive, then everybody will know he's a liar. In that case, and in our case also, he wouldn't lie. Same logic. In our case, meaning the Yavama. The same way as he wouldn't lie that she's dead to allow her to marry out Lashuk, the same way he wouldn't lie to allow her to marry her Yavam, because it's the same smarter either way. Or maybe not. Time of aid echad b'shem de'i daiko mitzvah. The reason why we will allow her to marry based on one aid is because of the chazaka that a woman is very careful before she goes and remarries, so that she doesn't end up suffering all the penalties we said at the beginning of the perek. B'hacha, but over here, kivin de'zimn in the rachmalay, it can happen that she really loves her yavam. Loy daiko mitzvah. Maybe she might not be so medayik. So maybe we don't have that chazaka necessarily. Well, we see what our Mishnah said. If they tell her your son died and then your husband died, and then she did Yibum, and then they told her it was the other way around. First the husband had died, then the son, so therefore you shouldn't have done Yibum. We said, then we say she has to divorce the Yavam, because she was also termed as an Isser Karis, and all the children that she had with him before or after the news came on Mamzerim. So we have to ask, hey Chidami, what do we mean when we said that first they came and told her, and then they came and told her the other way around? How many people came in each case? If it was two Edim came and told her that it was your husband and that it was your son, then your husband, and then two Edim came and said the other way around, it was your husband, then your son, which makes you that you're not shayach to Yibum, that you shouldn't have done Yibum. Then you have to ask, my chazis, the samcha sahai, smochani. Why should you necessarily rely on the second Edim? Rely on the first Edim. You have two against two. So it's equally balanced. No, we're talking about one after the other. No, it had to be one after the other, because we said that she one group came, said your son died, then your husband died. Go do Yibum.
Right.
So she went and did Yibum, and then later on, two more Edom came and say it was the other way around. So you were also to do Yibum.
She didn't know there was a second group.
No, obviously, but the point is, if you have two against two, then why should we say that we have to believe the second ones, and therefore she's also to the Yavam? We could just as well believe the first ones, two against two. Or Tosfos points out, okay, you might say that she still has a chazaka of being also to the Yavam, but okay, at least you could have the case that we had at the beginning of the Perek, where, for example, that both of them say bori me, that I'm certain that the first set of Edim were correct. So it can't be that it's talking about two against two. But oi, mamzer, sofik mamzer, who went also? How could you? Because that's what we just said. Why should you doubt to say that you only believe the second Edim? But oi, mamzer, sofik mamzer, who also? How can you say that the children are mamzerim? They're sofik mamzerim. So if two Edim saying one way and two the other way, that makes a sofik. Yeah. But chitayim aloy dox, so you might answer, okay, the Mishnah isn't precise. It says mamzer, but it means sofik mamzer. Can't say that. Bahamish Katani say for Rishon Mamzer va'Achron Einim Mamzer, because the Mishnah had described the case where she's told your husband died, then she remarried, and then she was told later your husband is dead, but he was still alive when you got married. And we said Rishon Mamzer va'Achron Einim Mamzer. We said that the first one is a mamzer, the second one is not, and especially according
to
before the husband died. Yeah. So we see Shmami Nadavka Chatoni. So we see the Mishnah is being very precise who's a mamzer and who's not. If it meant Sophic mamzer, it would have said that. Or according to the Tosfos Rosh that we were mentioning before, who says that in that case the second child is a mamzer midrabbanan, then fine. But the fact that the Mishnah clarifies, says mamzer versus ene mamzer, meaning only a mamzer midrabbanan, then the Mishnah would have earlier on would have also said the same thing. Instead of just saying Arishin Ma'ach and mamzer, we would think they're both mamzer deraita.
No room for suffix.
Yeah. So obviously the Mishnah must be talking about that first one person came and told her that it was the son and then the husband, so she's chayiv in Yibum, and then later on another one. So then originally it was one aid, and therefore we allowed her to do Yibum. Later on two aidim come, only because it was two are they machish. But if it weren't for that, we would have believed the one aid. So we see that one aid is good enough to allow her to do Yibum. So therefore, that proves the point. They're asking Rav Sheshes, can one aid allow her to do Yibum? The answer is yes. We see, by being medayek in our Mishnah, we see that yes. The Ikadam, our different version of the discussion, is it goes like this. In that kind of case, there's no question. Of course you can believe one aid to allow her to do Yibum. Even if you don't have any aidim at all, she herself, we would believe her to allow her to remarry. If a woman says, my husband died, we allow her to do Yibum, and we allow her to remarry, if it's not a case of Yibum. Or if she says my husband died, we allow her to do Yibum. So of course one aid is good enough. So she herself, without any aid, is good enough. Again, because Isha Daiko Mintzaba, we assume that she'll carefully check out the situation before. No, the question is Fakem. Can you accept one aid to say that she is allowed to marry outside the family without needing to wait for the Yavam? What's the question?
Outside
of Lavir Yavam Lashuk. My timer, what do we say? My timer to aid Echad. Again, let's go over the possibilities. We could say, what's the reason why we believe one aid, Mishum Demil Sadavidilla Glui Le Meshaker, because people don't lie about something which is going to be found out in the end, well, Hochanami Le Meshaker. Here also, they're not going to lie for the same logic. Or maybe time to aid echad mishum de'i daiko mitzvah. Maybe the reason we usually accept one aid is because we say she will be very careful before she remarries. But ha loy daiko mitzvah. Here in this case, where she wants to marry somebody outside the family, not the yavam, maybe she would not be so careful. That she might go ahead and get married without making sure that she really is potter from yavam. Because you might have the other way around. Before we have the case where she loves her Yavam and wants to marry him and therefore she'll rush into it. Here it's the other way around. She may hate her Yavam so much that she'll do anything to get out of marrying him, even if it means not being medayek. So do we allow one aid to say that, for example, that your husband died and then your son died, therefore you're potter from Yibum, or maybe in that case we need two aid. Amalu Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes tells him, Tinisua, we see from our Mishnah, Amrula mes vailach vachkach mes b'neich, if they tell her your husband died, and then your son died, v'nisis, and she got married, v'achakach amrula chilufa yadvarim, and then they told her it was the other way around, ketzev avlad rishon v'achron mamzer, we say she has to get divorced and all the children are mamzerim. And again, we have to ask, keichidami, again, are we talking about that it was supposed two Edim came and said that she doesn't need Yibum, and then later on two Edim came and contradicted? Again, who says you should rely on the second set, maybe rely on the first set, and she's mutter to her husband. But mamzer suffik mamzer, and again, how can you call the children mamzerim even according to Rav Akiva? It's only a suffik because we're not sure whether she was allowed to marry out Lashuk or not. And again, v'chitei meloi dok, you might say the Mishnah uses the word mamzer in a general sense, meaning we're not sure whether he's a mamzer or not. Again, like we said, we see from later on in the Mishnah that it's very carefully distinguishing between mamzer and not mamzer, or mamzer and suffolk mamzer, or whatever. And l'lav chad, so obviously it must mean originally one aide came and told her that her husband died and then her son died, so she's potter from Yibum. The timer to also be Shreya, and then why do we say that she's also only because two Edim later on came and contradicted that, and therefore we discard the one in the face of the two? Allah Hachi Mehman. But if not for that, we would believe the one Ed. So you see, one Ed is good enough to allow her to marry the Shuk. The answer is La'olam Tereyu Terey. No, because you could say that the Mishnah is talking about two sets of Edim. Because we could have, like the case that Rav Acha Baman Yumi said, we're not just talking about two Edim and then two other Edim came and contradicted them. We're talking about two other Edim came and were mazim them. Hazama, as we know, is where the second Edim come and say, we don't know, maybe the facts are as you say, maybe not, but you can't be made on it because you weren't there. That's different. There the Torah says, because there is a custom that you believe the second set and not the first set.
That's a chorus.
No, not a Kumayo Karis. It's a Karis. It's Zerus Akasu.
No,
there's no Karis. The Edim get the punishment that they were going to give the person who they were made against. So the same thing you could answer over here that the Mishnah is talking about. There were two Edim to begin with and two Edim later. Why is the Mishnah saying Davki, you believe the second Edim? Because not Akasha, but rather Hazama. And that's a special case. So no proof from that one Ed is enough to allow her to marry at Lashuk. And we'll continue tomorrow. That's the same.